We are headed into the last week of the COP26 summit, the International Climate Conference in Glasgow. And by now, you might have seen these phrases thrown around: net zero, the year 2050, 1.5 degrees Celsius, 2 degrees Celsius, carbon budget. Let's translate. What does this all really mean, and how do we get to where we're trying to go? Let's break this down with Justin Worland. He's a climate correspondent for Time magazine, and he joins us from Glasgow. Justin, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you, and we're going to talk about the very basics here. So one of those is the concept of net zero carbon emissions. What's that mean?
Yeah, net zero emissions is the idea that we basically would bring emissions, you know, carbon dioxide, methane emissions, down to essentially close to zero. And then the idea of net zero is to say that anything that we continue to emit will have some sort of offset or capture that will keep it at net zero, so that effectively we're at zero, even if it's not, you know, truly zero.
Does that mean, under that concept, there's still a possibility of, say, burning fossil fuels and having some of those fossil fuel emissions, so long as they're somehow negated out in the math in one way or the other?
Right. That's exactly right. So the idea with net zero is that, you know, even if we're still burning some fossil fuels, there's a way to do the math such that it hits net zero. And that could mean something like sucking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. That could mean something like planting trees. But I think in most reasonable analyses of how we get to net zero show that we basically have to get pretty close to zero with fossil fuel emissions. And of course, this is an area where there's some controversy, where you might have some countries or companies that say, we're going to be net zero. And then you look at the numbers and they say, well, we're going to plant, you know, a forest the size of the Amazon. Net zero can mean that, but I think in sort of the most practical, reasonable analysis, it has to basically mean bringing fossil fuels close to zero.
And then there's the question of the when, the timing here. There's so much conversation of the planet, the world getting to net zero carbon emissions by 2050. What's the importance of 2050?
Yeah, 2050, I mean, if you extrapolate from this sort of net zero language and then look at it as a temperature target and look at the temperature target of 1.5 degrees, which is the level of warming that scientists say is likely to lead to some of the worst impacts of climate change, the possibility of tipping points, you know, Arctic ice sheet collapse, et cetera, that would really trigger dramatic consequences for the planet. So if you extrapolate that temperature target, 1.5 degrees Celsius, and then you make it into a emissions target, you get to net zero by 2050, because it's all about trying to keep temperature rise into that zone that helps us survive and prevents, you know, civilizational collapse.
All right. Let's talk about the timing here. There is
sure.
a 10-year window to cut emissions and curb the worst consequences. That's from a UN-backed report earlier this year. But then there's also this idea of a carbon budget. We just saw there's a new report on the carbon budget. How does that fit into this 1.5 net zero picture you're painting for us?
Yeah, so the carbon budget is another way to do the math. And basically, with the carbon budget approach, you're thinking about, we have so much that we can emit that will keep us from whatever temperature target you're talking about, whether that be 1.5 or 2 degrees. And so there's just this concrete budget that we have in terms of emissions before we hit one of those markers. And so if you think about the 1.5 marker, we essentially have in 2020 around 400 gigatons left. And at the rate we were going, we would hit that in about 8 years. So it really maps well into this 2030 timeline. But it's a different way of sort of parsing the same thing. And I think what's really compelling about it is it's just like, it's a budget. You take out from it and that's it.
So how to get to this net zero by 2050, and as you're describing, keep the temperature rise within 1.5 degrees Celsius. The International Energy Agency has put out this roadmap for how to get there. It looks pretty easy for the rest of us to understand. What are the main kind of pieces in this roadmap?
Yeah, so this roadmap from the IEA was a really comprehensive look. I think more than 400 different metrics and things that we could look at. It's really an economy-wide, all governments change, right? Like, this is something that requires systemic change and not just one thing here or there. But there are a few points that are worth mentioning. I mean, the big headline out of that report was no more need for investment in new fossil fuel resources, right? So we don't need to start exploring for new oil and gas. Mm-hmm. And then there are all sorts of other smaller piecemeal things like, you know, personal choices that often get a lot of attention. That could account for 4% of the sort of total need for emissions reductions if we walk to work instead of taking a car, for example. And so really there's, you know, you can go from everything from these really huge, you know, changes like moving away from oil and gas to these really small things about personal choices, and they're all incorporated into that net zero report.
Does the report go into the timing if we need to go fully off of coal, oil, natural gas? How quickly?
So the big thing is we need to just about have emissions by 2030, right? This is a gargantuan task, but it isn't net zero immediately. It does give somewhat of a runway, but obviously, you know, it's 2021, almost 2022. The runway is getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah. Now, of course, if we phase out certain kinds of energy, we need new kinds of, you know, zero emissions energy to fill that gap. Where are we, according to the IEA, in that as far as solar, wind, other green energies that are able to scale and that are able to be affordable? I mean, what has to happen on that side?
Yeah, so the IEA report was really fascinating on this level. It showed that a lot of the things that need to happen globally with regard to fossil fuels were kind of happening. Investment is declining. There's not as much growth as previously. But at the same time, that decline in fossil fuel investment isn't being matched by investment in clean energy. And so that's happening even as we're having record investment in clean energy. It's not nearly enough. The number, I believe, is that clean energy investment needs to triple globally to really be on track to what we need. And I think there's this really interesting, challenging period that we're entering where we're talking about things like energy disruption, you know, in some places, energy crises. And that investment in clean energy really is necessary to smooth the transition, to ensure that this is a comfortable transition and not just a crazy jolt.
Yeah, right, to put us on a path, I guess, in the next three decades to transition there. Finally, Justin, appreciate your kind of laying out, you know, where we are, where we need to go, where the roadmap is, according to the International Energy Agency. You're at Glasgow, and the delegates there surely know all of this. Do you have a sense that they are working to put in concrete goalposts to get from here to there, or, you know, for now, in 2021, are the politics just too challenging to really lay and get the world to agree on a specific roadmap?
Yeah, the politics are very challenging. I mean, I think there's this new convergence and recognition and the importance of the net zero target. And so you have countries like Saudi Arabia, India, acknowledging, you know, the need to get to net zero, which is new and substantial. But when you get to the sort of more near-term questions, that's where it gets a lot harder because that involves politics today. And so it's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, one of the big questions that a lot of smaller, vulnerable countries are pushing for is to come back and have almost annual assessments and sort of pushes to do more. And that's something that a lot of these big emitters are concerned about because, you know, it's very easy for India to say, well, 2070, we can be net zero. Mm. It's a lot harder to say, you know, what are we going to do in 2023? What are we going to do in 2025? And that's where this sort of political dynamic is really challenging. But, you know, there's still four more days and I'm sure some sleepless nights for the delegates and we could still get there.
Justin Werland is climate correspondent for Time Magazine, and he is in Glasgow at the summit. Justin, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.